Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we hear so much about Joseph, what a figure he was in the Old Testament. Remember the story, Joseph and his brothers, and his brothers became very jealous of him. He was much loved by his father and a man close to God's heart. And his brothers were just very jealous of all of that. And so they actually sold their brother into slavery. They got rid of him. They told their father that he had disappeared and he died or whatever. Think about that. Brother attacking brother. But later on, their land, and they go through a period of great famine. And so they come to Pharaoh asking for help, not knowing that their brother Joseph, brought there as a slave because his brothers rejected him, sold him. And Joseph became a favorite of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh liked him. And so the Pharaoh, over the years, gave him more and more authority. And lo and behold, as only God can orchestrate it, here come the brothers to Pharaoh asking for help. Food they badly need for themselves, for their father. And Joseph is the one appointed by Pharaoh to handle these needs. And suddenly, here is Joseph looking at his brothers, but the brothers don't recognize him. They thought he was long dead or sold into slavery, and they don't recognize him. When hunger came to be felt throughout the land of Egypt. This is Genesis chapter 41. When hunger came to be felt throughout the land of Egypt, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh directed all the Egyptians to go to Joseph and do whatever he told them. When the famine had spread throughout the land, Joseph opened all the cities that had grain and rationed it to the Egyptians, since the famine had gripped the land of Egypt. In fact, all the world came to Joseph to obtain rations of grain, for famine had gripped the whole world. The sons of Israel were among those who came to procure rations. It was Joseph, as governor of the country, who dispensed the rations to all the people. When Joseph's brothers came and knelt down before him with their faces to the ground, he recognized them as soon as he saw them. But Joseph concealed his own identity from them and spoke sternly to them. With that, he locked them up in the guardhouse for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to his brothers, "Do this and you shall live, for I am a God-fearing man. If you have been honest, only one of your brothers need be confined to this prison, while the rest of you may go and take home provisions for your starving families. But you must come back to me with your youngest brother. Your words will thus be verified, and you will not die." To this they agreed. To one another, however, they said, "Alas, we are being punished because of our brother." So they somehow were able to, they didn't know this was their brother, but they somehow realized that their current misfortune had come from that dastardly deed that they did to their brother Joseph. "We are being punished because of our brother. We saw the anguish of his heart when he pleaded with us, yet we pay no heed. That is why this anguish has now come upon us." Reuben broke in, "Did I not tell you not to do wrong to the boy? But you would not listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood." The brothers did not know, of course, that Joseph understood what they said, since he spoke with them through an interpreter. But turning away from them, he wept. He wept to see the misfortune that had come upon his family. He wept to see what their selfishness had brought not only upon them, but upon the whole family. Joseph wept. What a story, brothers and sisters. We can learn a lot of lessons from this story, a lot. So read it through. Read it through several times. Ask the Lord what he wants you to see, what he wants you to pay attention to, because so many, many families have rifts and separations and sometimes utter silence, unforgiveness, all those kinds of things. Ask the Lord to show you through the story of Joseph what he wants you to do for your family. Psalm 33, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Believe me, brothers and sisters, put all your trust in him. Don't put your trust. By trust, I mean entrusting your life, entrusting your goods, everything into some plan or idea. Be very, very careful. Be very careful. Whatever God has given you, and if you have plenty, how does God want me to use this? Not investing in, oh, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that, or the other thing, but Lord, you have been gracious to me. You have given me much. What do you want me to do with it for the sake of the poor? Brothers and sisters, let your gift actually hurt you a little bit. Yes, you've been given something great, perhaps. Don't just give away out of your excess. Give part of your own portion of whatever it may be. Be generous with the poor, and God will be very generous with you. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp with the 10-string lyre. Chant his praises. Sing to him a new song. Pluck the strings skillfully with shouts of gladness. The Lord brings to naught the plans of nations. He foils the designs of peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the design of his heart through all generations. So that's why we want to know, God, what is your plan for me? What do you want of me in this set of circumstances? What do you want of me for my whole life? And the whole range in between. Daily ask the Lord, what is your will for me? How can I carry out your will today? It'll change some things. It'll reprioritize some things. You'll give up some things you thought you could never give up. At the same time, you will know the joy of a growing intimacy with God. When God sees that you put everything at his feet, that you desire to follow him, he draws near. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him. That is, they reverence him. You put God's priorities first. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. God will do great good for you when we take whatever God has given to us and share it with the poor and sometimes give it away. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. These were the ones Jesus chose. And you look at them and you read the stories in the gospel and you see the whole wide range of personalities, of strengths, of weaknesses, of sin. It's all there. But he called them, and most were faithful to him. God calls you. God calls me day in and day out. Will you be my presence? Will you give as I would give? Will you pray for those who persecute you? Are we living more and more like him? If people had to identify you, could they identify you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a son or daughter of God? Would that identity be that clear? It should be. It should be. And that doesn't mean just a lot of external works, though it can include them. It means a heart so disposed to God that you bring peace and joy and light where you serve. Because the source of your life is not in yourself, it's in him. And you're drawing on it. I've had people say, or heard people say about other people, when I'm in that person's presence, I know peace, I have faith, I have confidence, I have hope. Would people say that about you? That doesn't depend on anything of the world's goods. It doesn't depend on position or title or salary, influence. It doesn't depend on any of those things. It simply depends on a heart disposed to God. And your reward will be beyond anything you could imagine. So some of us need to make some decisions. How many times have I said to you, don't straddle? Don't. You can't do both. You're either a disciple or you're of the world. You can be in the world but not of it. Question is, are you of the world? Do you take the world's values and standards? Do you try to somehow bring them together with God's standards? You can't. You will compromise. Brothers and sisters, we need disciples who do not compromise. Are you one of them? Can you be one of them? Jesus called these 12, and you can see they're weak, they're sinful. But most of them really did follow him, even stumbling, even falling. They got back up and they followed him. They were faithful to him. And so can you be. Don't be Judas. But make the choice and make it clearly. Don't assume it. Well, yeah, I'm Catholic. No. Make the choice that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, that I will follow him wherever he leads me. That's what we need in the world today. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is something that is at hand? It means I can reach out my hand in a sense, symbolic, but I can reach out my hand and grasp it. Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. He's right there. It's Christ himself. The kingdom is at hand. It's at my hand and your hand. And it is, brothers and sisters, Jesus is present in the power of his Spirit. From the moment you were baptized and confirmed, Jesus dwells within you. Do you believe that? Please open your heart. Please ask God for greater faith, that you may believe and live according to the gifts that God has given you. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.